in the limelight.
Assange's so-called crime was revealing deep, embarrassing, sometimes deadly, maleficence by numerous actors, including the U.S. government, the media, the Democratic Party Clinton machine, and the illegal Zionist entity called Israel. These were the remarks of Alison Ware, executive director of If Americans Knew, president of the Council for the National Interest, and author of the well-researched book Against Our Better Judgment, The Hidden History of How the U.S. Was Used to Create Israel. Stay with us for the second part of the article titled Remembering the Crimes of the Powerful Exposed by Assange. Susan Rice worked to protect Israel at the UN Foreign Policy's Colin Lynch reported on diplomatic cables published by WikiLeaks from U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations Susan Rice. They showed Rice working to stymie a UN investigation into Israel's 2008 to 2009 invasion of Gaza, an investigation that led to the Goldstone report. In one pointed cable, Lynch wrote, Rice repeatedly prodded UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon to block a recommendation of the Board of Inquiry to carry out a sweeping inquiry into alleged war crimes by the Zionist regime troops and Palestinian fighters. In another cable, Rice issued a veiled warning to the president of the International Criminal Court, Sang Hyun-sung, that an investigation into Israeli crimes could damage its standing with the United States at a time when the new administration was moving closer to the tribunal. How the ICC handles issues concerning the Goldstone report will be perceived by many in the U.S. as a test for the ICC, as this is a very sensitive matter. She told him, according to a November 3, 2009 cable from the U.S. mission to the United Nations. Another cable reveals that the Rice assured Israeli Foreign Minister Avigdor Lieberman during the October 21, 2009 meeting in Tel Aviv that the U.S. had done its utmost to blunt the effects of the Goldstone report and that she was confident she could build a blocking coalition to prevent any push for a probe by the Security Council, according to an October 27, 2009 cable. Lynch wrote that the diplomatic cables published by WikiLeaks provide a rare glimpse behind the scenes at the UN as American diplomats sought to shield Israel's military from outside scrutiny of its conduct during Operation Cast Lead. They also demonstrate how the U.S. and the Zionist regime were granted privileged access to highly sensitive internal U.N. deliberations on an independent U.N. Board of Inquiry into the Gaza War, raising questions about the independence of the process. Eisenstadt worked to influence Hillary on the Zionist regime. A 2015 WikiLeaks consisted of an email from former U.S. ambassador to the EU, Stuart Eisenstadt, to top Clinton foreign policy advisor Jake Sullivan, that was also sent to Hillary Clinton. The email revealed Eisenstadt's close ties to the Zionist regime and is another example of how advisors like Eisenstadt and Rubin worked to influence Clinton's positions. Eisenstadt had held numerous influential positions in both Israel and the U.S., including chief domestic policy advisor under President Jimmy Carter and executive director of the White House Democratic Policy Staff and deputy secretary of the Treasury under Bill Clinton. His bio states that Eisenstadt served as president's special representative on Holocaust-related issues and negotiated major Holocaust restitution agreements with a number of European countries. And at the time of his ambassadorial nomination, he sat on the following boards: the Weizmann Institute of Science, the Jerusalem Foundation, the Brandeis University, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Council for Excellence in Government Center for National Policy, the Overseas Development Council, the International Management and Development Institutes, the American Jewish Committee, and the UJA Federation of Greater Washington. He was chairman of the Feinberg Graduate School of the Weizmann Institute and served on the board of directors of Hercules Incorporated, PSI Energy Incorporation, and the Israel Discount Bank of New York. For his work, the Israeli regime presented Eisenstadt with the Courage and Conscience Award. Eisenstadt noted in his email that the widely known Obama-Netanyahu animosity placed Hillary in an extremely difficult position, caught between the president she served and the organized parts of the Jewish community. He advised her on how to maneuver this. Eisenstadt wrote, "Permit me to suggest some points she might make. By way of background, I have very deep connections to the State of Israel and to its elected officials and leading academics. I go to Israel 2 to 3 times a year, perhaps 50 times since my first visit in 1965. My grandfather and great-grandfather are buried in Israel, and I have scores of relatives and friends there," unquote. Eisenstadt explained his central role in U.S.-Israel policies, saying, "During the Clinton administration, I was responsible for the economic dimension of the peace process, working with Yasser Arafat, the Jordanians, and Israeli government." He said that he co-chaired with Dennis Ross, the Jewish People's Policy Institute of Jerusalem, that is JPPPI, a think tank funded by the Jewish Agency and major American Jewish federations and foundations, focusing on strategies, challenges facing the Zionist regime and the diaspora around the world. Eisenstadt recommended that Hillary should stress the enduring commitment of the U.S. to Israel's security interests, not only direct military threats, but attacks against the Israeli regime in the form of boycott, divestment, sanctions, that is, BDS campaign, on campuses in the U.S. and Europe. She should express grave concern for the increase in anti-Semitism in Europe and violent attacks by radical terrorists. Third, and critically, she should express a strong feeling that the Israeli regime must remain a bipartisan issue as it has been since its formation. She should sharply criticize those in the U.S. and in Israel who are injecting Israel into a partisan context. Hillary's campaign team advised that she only talk about the Zionist regime at private fundraisers. WikiLeaks published emails showing that in 2015, Hillary Clinton's campaign team was concerned that mentioning Israel during election speeches would alienate Democratic Party activists. Campaign manager Robbie Mook emailed that they shouldn't have Israel at public events. He was especially concerned about activists. After some debate about the strategy, speechwriter Dan Surin suggested a basic text for her to use that omitted Israel, he said. Then she can drop in Israel when she is with donors. Israeli general admits that the U.S. and Israeli security interests often clash. A 2009 diplomatic cable describing a meeting Assistant Secretary of Defense Ambassador Alexander Vershow with senior Israeli defense officials in Israel reported that an Israeli general acknowledged the sometimes difficult position the U.S. finds itself in given its global interests and considered that Israel's security focus is so narrow that its QME concerns often clash with broader American security interests in the region, unquote. The cable shows that U.S. diplomats were skeptical of the report, including the parenthetical comment. It is unclear if the Israelis firmly believe this or are using worst-case estimates to raise greater urgency from the U.S. Israeli chief of staff reveals Israel is preparing for a war against civilians. WikiLeaks posted the December 23, 2009 secret diplomatic cable from the U.S. Embassy in Tel Aviv that described a briefing by Israel's chief of general staff, Lieutenant General Gabi Ashkenazi, of a U.S. congressional delegation consisting of House Armed Services Committee Chairman Ike Skelton, Representative Steve Israel, and Representative Tim Murphy, the cable reported. Ashkenazi began the meeting by expressing his appreciation for the committee's support for Israel over the years. Ashkenazi said he's preparing the IDF for a big war and said that the next battle would be conducted in Gaza and southern Lebanon. The cable also quoted Ashkenazi as telling the U.S. representatives the IDF cannot allow a situation in which it is restricted from operating in urban areas, suggesting that the Israeli military would be even more violent than its invasion of Gaza a year before, in which Israeli forces killed about 1,400 Palestinians, including more than 900 civilians, many of them children. West Asian expert Juan Cole writes, planning to bomb civilian areas with foreknowledge that you will thereby kill large numbers of civilians is a war crime. Ashkenazi admitted that there were mistakes made. The report said he noted that Israeli soldiers were also hit by mistake. The same tank battalion that hit the house of Dr. Abul Aish and killed his two daughters also hit an Israeli infantry unit. Cold reports that Ashkenazi had told the delegation that Israeli unmanned drones had had great success in identifying rocket emplacements in southern Lebanon and that it had been aided in this endeavor by the U.S. National Security Agency, which spies on communications. According to Cole, Israel could have a peace treaty with Syria and Lebanon tomorrow by giving back the Golan Heights and the Sheba Farms and by accepting a two-state solution. Instead, it's Dr. Strangelove's are planning out massive bombings of areas thick with innocent civilians and willing to subject Tel Aviv to 2 months' worth of rocket fire. The impact of Israel's actions on the U.S., Cole discusses what this could mean for the U.S. Nor will the U.S. be held harmless from the blowback in the region caused by another Israeli war of aggression. Before September 11, Israel hawks used to make fun of Americans who warned that eventually there would be hell to pay for the Israeli strangulation of the Palestinians. And imagine what a war would do to gasoline prices and to the world economy. Cole concluded, "My deepest fear is that the U.S. support for Israeli militarism and the terrorism that support inevitably endangers will be what finally finishes off the civil liberties enshrined in the American Constitution." Former U.S. Treasury Undersecretary and journalist Paul Craig Roberts worries that this is already in process. As the grand jury for Assange was secret because of national security, will the trial also be secret and evidence secret? Is what we have here a star chamber proceeding in which a person is indicted in secret and convicted in secret on secret evidence? This is the procedure used by tyrannical governments who have no case against the person they intend to destroy. The Zionist regime misled the public about Hamas. The Zionist regime opposes a lasting ceasefire, another secret U.S. diplomatic cable published by WikiLeaks reported on a trip to Israel by Senator Kirsten Gillibrand. Gillibrand's group was briefed on the Gaza security situation by the IDF Southern Command and the Israel Security Agency. At a time, Gillibrand was facing an upcoming fight to retain her position in the Senate, in what was expected to be a close election in 2010, she had been appointed by the governor to the seat after Hillary became Secretary of State. The cable reported, Israeli Major General Yoav Gallant told the CODEL, that is Congressional Delegation, that the Southern Command's role is to manage the threat from Gaza. While the Zionist regime publicly portrays Gaza as filled with extremists who hate Israel because of extremism. The WikiLeaks disclose shows that privately its officials tell a different story. Gallant was quoted as telling Gillibrand, 60% of Gaza's population is under the age of 20 and the average income is 1/25th of the average income of the Israelis in Sderot. Gaza has no natural resources except for fishing. Those factors would be reason enough for Gazans to fight even without religious extremism. Gallant admitted that the Zionist regime opposed a lasting ceasefire with Hamas since a lasting ceasefire is likely to lead to a stronger Hamas. An Israeli official said that one of the reasons that Fatah couldn't make concessions to reconcile with Hamas was because of the U.S. position, suggesting that the U.S. has played a role in continuing division between Hamas and Fatah. The briefing disclosed that Israeli officials were displeased that Egypt didn't always do what the Zionist regime told it to do. An Israeli official complained that Shin Bet and the Mossad gave Egyptian intelligence the names of the top 300 smugglers in the Sinai, but Egypt did not act against any of them. While the Zionist regime always blames Hamas violence, the cable revealed that privately Israeli officials are aware that other, newer groups are often responsible. Israeli officials said that these groups oppose the rule of Hamas, which has tried to suppress them. The Zionist regime and U.S. decide to hide delivery of U.S. bunker busting bombs to Israel. A secret 2009 diplomatic cable reported on the executive session of the 40th Joint Political Military Group. The U.S. group was led by Andrew Shapiro, Assistant Secretary of State Bureau of Political Military Affairs. They met with top Israeli officials. The cable reported that the combined group decided that the upcoming delivery of GBU-28 bunker-busting bombs to Israel should be handled quietly to avoid any allegations that the USG, that is, the U.S. government, is helping Israel prepare for a strike against Iran. The cable also reported the government of Israel made the case for crippling sanctions against Iran, unquote. Israeli regime was concerned about Russia and Turkey. The same 2009 secret cable reported that the Zionist regime was extremely concerned about Russia, reporting Israel was not confident that Moscow will be helpful in sanctions effort. Israeli participants opine that Russia is considered a mystery with respect to their views on Iran. Israel raised the Russian S-300 say to Iran, noting that the transfer is still pending. Israel participants argued that Moscow seeks a return to superpower status. This suggests that Israel's continual concern about Russia could be a factor in the promotion of the widespread and dangerous anti-Russia discourse in the U.S. The Zionist regime was also worried that Turkey wasn't towing the Israeli line. The GOI raised the current direction of the government of Turkey has taken towards Syria and Iran and away from Israel. Israeli participants argued that Turkey has been supportive of Hamas in Gaza while pursuing a more Islamic direction with the goal of becoming a regional superpower. The Zionist regime argued that the Turkish military is losing its ability to influence government decisions and a strategic direction. After this past year, the Zionist regime participants said they have a bad feeling about Turkey. Efforts at the highest levels of the U.S. government to remove restrictions for Israelis concerning dual citizenship. The same 2009 secret cable discussed above also revealed that there were efforts at the top levels of the U.S. government to allow dual Israel citizens in the U.S. to have access to sensitive technology. Israel raised the issue of dual citizenship within the context of access to sensitive technology, and U.S. participants acknowledged Israeli concerns, noting that the issue is being worked at the highest levels of the USG to reach consensus on how to proceed. Since 2006, WikiLeaks has exposed the multitude of misdeeds of governments throughout the world.